Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Get That Domain Name, featuring Shane, Drew, and Josh. On this show, we talk about Josh's new domain service platform, Get That Domain Name, which can be found at gtdn.com, which is a domain search and acquisition tool. We talk about the launch. We do some live QC on the show. And so far, it looks awesome. And we're super excited for Josh and for us, since we'll definitely get some good use out of it. Then we play the domain game featuring flyingfish.com, planetgreen.com, and manukawellness.com. Then we talk about bplushive.com, which then spurs some discussion about honey, hives, and bees. And remember, Shane runs beehouse.com, which has some amazing artisan honey available. So please go check that out. And then we've got the NameJet in a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including smartsite.com, stepin.com, perfecting.com, and polygons.com. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domains to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon-to-be-added portfolio auctions featuring traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that operates DomainManage.com, a global sales platform, and also Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. So now, with all that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains, and get that domain name. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, getting into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples to learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves, the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz, my personal friends. Like I said, these guys aren't even guests. They're co-hosts. This is what we do. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. So what's happening right now? It's where I intro the Sherpas. We talk about what's going on with them, some AKAs, some related things, some unrelated things, you know, all that good stuff. Then we get into the domain game, where we hear what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on what the price was. Then we get some swag to the winner. Eventually, some eventual swag, eventualswag.com. And then third segment is NameJet in a Jet, sponsored by our friends at NameJet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction, see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. And last but not least, we got grand closing, where we discuss anything we haven't already talked about, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing the Sherpas to talk about and promote things, anything they really want to talk about, because it's really all good. We got some stuff today, a little GTDN, you know what I'm saying? .com, baby. But hey, wait, not yet.
Get that domain name. Let's go.
Get that domain name. Let's go. Is right. All right. So let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of digital assets, aka Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, aka Drew. Drew got what I need, aka Never Gonna Give Drew Up, aka Greybeard, the domain pirate, sailing these digital seas. What's up, man? How are you?
Ah, man, I am. I'm great. Terrific.
Terrific and great. Look, it's there's a lot of craziness happening out there in the world at the moment. And
just take a little moment to say Shana Tova to all my Jewish peeps out there. As we record this, it is Rosh Hashanah. So Shana Tova.
Boom. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that's kind of crazy right now. There's some stuff. And, you know, just still put everybody out in the Middle East, you know, just peace in the Middle East, man. You know what I mean? It's not that at the moment. And
peace everywhere. Peace everywhere. Yeah.
So, but that is the goal. That is the goal. But it is, speaking of October, it's Uptober. Although we have not started up, we've started down. You know, you've got the combination of unrest. You've got uncertainty around elections. You've got, not to all of a sudden, I went from like, hey, what's up? And then now it's like, you know, but, you know, a minute to think about the people that are dealing with everything going on in North Carolina. I mean, in you know, the after effects of the hurricane, that is absolutely insane.
But Shane, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it normal that October typically across markets opens down because it's the start of Q4? And so everybody's taking profits from, they want to lock in profits of Q3 going into Q4. They're starting 25 planning for its strategy for 2025. And so typically, I think October generally, like first Monday of October is typically a bloodbath.
There's a lot of portfolio adjusting right now, right? Prepping for the Santa Claus rally, prepping for, there's definitely a lot of movement. The only thing I'm not seeing is tons of volume. Like normally you see a pretty good amount of volume to go with that,
but we
got some port, you know, the one thing you didn't mention is we've got the ports closing and people trying to figure out who does that affect? How does that affect? How does oil come into play? Like there's just a lot going on that people are trying to balance, and the reality is for most of us you just don't do nothing, you don't do anything, right? You just sit here and wait through it and whatever you liked before. But you know, I'm all in on Amazon, and so I'm watching that get killed, and I'm watching AI. You know, there's a lot to take in. So but as we know in domains, and a lot of times the best thing is to let all these bumps and hills and valleys just pass through while you sit there.
Total.
That's
you
it.
Can't time it, right?
Well, the longshoreman strike, I think, is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Could be really impactful, obviously, depending on how that goes.
We knew it was coming because we saw a lot of people overstocking. Like, I don't know if you paid attention to inventory, but people were stocking up heavily in warehouses in anticipation. So overseas market was popping, and you're thinking, why is it popping? And that's because of what happened. So I think we have 3 or 4 weeks buffer, but if it goes longer than that, we could be in trouble. Like they control the ports, and it's not, don't go hoard toilet paper, man. I've seen people hoarding toilet paper. That's a fucking United States product, dude. Like it comes across, like it's not coming through the
ports. That's just coming in. That's coming in a truck.
So I guess what do I need to stockpile now?
It's interesting. I mean, you know, it'll have, you know, some impact on, you know, probably on electronics, definitely on commodities. You know, and you're seeing oil rip because of the potential for the Strait of Hormuz being closed with the whole mess over there. So, but really, you know, in my mind, actually, what it's going to affect is exports more than anything else. I think that U.S. exports, you know, it's going to create a major problem. But then you have a lot of agricultural imports that, you know, that stuff ends up rotting, right? You're backed up, you got a port backed up. That's it. All that agriculture export, you know, goes to hell. So, you know, it's going to be huge disruptions, huge.
You look at it to see who's got their transportation model down, who does the most air freight. This isn't a stock show, but that's why I'm in on Amazon. They have by far the highest percentage of air freight into their
product. Oh yeah.
So it's not even close. And they will be least affected by all of this. So it's a game, right? Like they're playing it on a big level, but these are the kind of things. Transportation is everything. It runs the world. If it stops, we stop. That's just how it
works.
Internet will not provide you product. It will provide you SaaS, but it will not get you hard goods.
Well said. By the way, I dig your mic. Let me do a real quick intro for Shane, but then I want to talk about I think I need to get that. It keeps changing colors. It's all I'm watching right now. And with that, the guy with the colored microphone, my boy Shane Coltra, aka Sugar Shane, aka Honey Shane, aka Mike Rowe, aka Blame It on the Shane, aka House of Shane, aka the Culture Club, doing it for the culture, Domain Chain. What's happening, man?
Aka aka Miracle Grow.
Right. Oh, that's a good one.
I can grow. Yeah.
We got all kinds of meanings.
Man, Miracle Grow. I love that. I love that.
Next Sherpa, I'm showing up with a ponytail. Like, I'm all.
Let's go.
I'm going to look like Keanu Reeves next. I was going to start like right here. And then it's just, man, I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, I'm trying to get into shape, man. I'm trying to be Josh. I'm trying to get his Aura Ring Whoop bracelet like activity matched up.
They're like, man, yeah, you get Josh.
I'm the hybrid athlete. Like, that's the thing. That's my new thing, right? I've been watching these guys that are fit, muscles, fast. Like, I'm ready to put in the work on a hybrid athlete. That's my new thing. Pumping weights, running hard, working hard. And then my sleep is better. Like, sleeping like crazy because I'm working out hard and working hard during the day. My mind's going. Like, I haven't found the fountain of youth, but I think I got 10 more great years going now. Like, I found them. Dude, and I'm motivated.
I'm feeling it, man. That's it. Like, we all got to be like Shane, who is going to be like Josh. You know what I'm saying? It's like a, you know, it's like a small fish, big, you know what I'm saying? Like, boom, boom, boom. We're all in the chain. Domain Chain, Miracle Grow. All right. Well, last but not least, let me real quick intro my boy Josh Reason, aka Bjorn Borg, aka Prince Harry, aka Harry Kane, aka Prince Harry Kane, aka Chicka Chicka Slim Shady, aka Mr. Pickle. What's up, man? Speaking of Mr. Pickle, what's
up, man?
Good, man.
What's
up? I saw the I guess, you know, the update from the tournament you just got back from, where unfortunately it was a loss in the last round of qualifiers, of qualies, as you say, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't normally post much about it. I probably play one or two tournaments a month, but the last few, man, like losing the last round of qualifiers is really, like, really tough because, you know, you go to these events, you want to play the main draws. That's where, you know, that's where it gets televised. That's where all the like best players in the world are playing. And, you know, when you lose the last round of qualies, it's just frustrating because, you know, I know that I can beat a lot of the guys in main draw, and just, you know, going traveling all that way and then having to go home early sucks. So, yeah. But I'm feeling good. I'm playing good. But for what it's worth, I'll be happy if, you know, I'm in the same shape as Shane 20 years from now. So
is that the spread between us 20 years?
I mean, it's pretty, I mean, how old are you, Shane?
55. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 33. So
yeah, no, that's a long, you know, there's a lot that can go right and go wrong in those 20 years.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you give me the option right now to be like Shane in 20 years, I will snap your hand off and take it.
And man, I love watching I mean, I know we're all in domains, but I was loving the videos, and I know you feel it, and we all feel it. We're all competitors here. Like, that's what drives us. That's why we're good at domains. That's why we're good at what we do. But like, your sport, to be 35 and blessed with the ability to go compete at a big level and still have that disappointment and excitement, I think that's what a lot of people are searching for. That's what a lot of people lack, right? A lot of people are sitting around doing nothing. But
yeah,
to be pissed off about not making the next round is freaking great. Like, I love it. I can feel it through the video. I can feel it through you talking now. Like, that's badass. That's what life's about right there, man, is
for sure
someone's ass and then getting your ass beaten and then trying to come back. So I think it's badass.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, real talk, not joking at all, between playing tennis and then start finding pickleball, there was like a 10 year period almost, and not quite 10 years, but like, I didn't even realize until I found pickleball how much, like, how bad of a place that I was in mentally. And when I found it like 2 years ago and just like got into that, you know, feeling of competing and whatnot, like I had prior when I was younger, God, it's like, it changed my life, man. Like, physically, mentally, like, I'm so much of a better person as well. And it's just, and like, oof, I'm like all about, you know, trying to eat well, trying to stay healthy. I've got like goals. I go out, I like hang out with friends, and gosh, I mean, one of the reasons I'm able to do it is because of domain investing, right? So, you know, I feel very fortunate right now.
And the other thing is, your kids are watching that and they think that's normal, right, man? They think their parent, you're supposed to still be out having fun, playing sport, doing things you love.
Oh, yeah.
Every speech you give to your kids is worthless compared to what they see your dad doing. And now they see their dad out there playing sport, competing, and that they're going to think that's how you're supposed to do it. So this isn't a philosophical show.
No, but hey, look, that's a great point. It's a great point. Yeah. And I would just want to, you know, get on my good dad vibe for a second off of this, because I do think it's important. You know, they say that a lot, that, you know, your kids are only going to hear so much of what you try to tell them, right? I give my kids speeches every fucking day, right? And it's all just water off a duck's back, man. They're just like, you know what I mean? But what they see, the example that you set, you know, is really 100%. What they're going to absorb, right? And one of the biggest things I think as a parent that I try to really adhere to is that, you know, you're really trying to prepare your kids for life, right? And it's like, you want to prepare your child for the path, not prepare the path for your child, right? We want to try to make things as easy as we can for them at times, and, you know, this, that, and do all these things to make it so that their life is quote unquote easy. But, you know, really you want to prepare them for whatever life is going to throw at them, because they're going to have so many choices to make in their lives and things that you can't control. And we could be like, oh, I'm going to helicopter them. They're not going to get shit over on me, but they're going to get into some shit. They're going to have the ability to make bad choices, and, you know, and you just hope that you teach them to be good decision makers so that they don't always make the worst choice, you know? And so I think that the beginning of that in preparing them is really when you lead by example, because again, they're going to absorb so much more of what they see than what they hear as far as what you're trying to tell them and show them. So it's, you know, which is also, you know, why we do a little bring your kids to work day occasionally, where I'll have my kids, you know, in the car when I call Drew for a check-in or talking through some shit.
He's basically what do they say to Drew?
On the other day, we're driving. This is on our way to Atlanta this past weekend. And Drew was going over some stuff. You know, we're talking some work stuff. And
not everybody understands what mentorship looks like.
And this is mentorship at its finest. It's basically like, listen, Jackson, I just want to tell you something. Sometimes in order to do what you got to do, you got to put your foot on somebody's face, you know, especially if that person is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or if that person is taking credit for other people's work and they're acting like they're the guy, but they're not the guy. Sometimes you got to make a point. Like, he's just going off. It was just really funny. But the lesson in that, though, jokes aside, is that it is important to expose your kids to things and people and lessons and stuff in whatever ways that you can. I mean, because it's like, and they're going to absorb it from all over the place. And like, yeah,
that's it. And the more variety they get, the better.
Well, you know, there's also the thing about, look, you're some combination of the people you spend the most time with. And, you know, influences are a real thing. Like, you know, it's like you don't want to control, you know, hey, my kid can't be friends with certain kids, or I want my kids to be friends with certain kids. But, you know, a lot of their friend group is going to dictate kind of some of who they become. Right. And, you know, I was lucky in that I grew up with, you know, some, you know, people that are still my friends that, you know, I think that were good, you know, sort of helped me in my growth and development. And, you know, it's not always intentional. It's sometimes you just absorb what you absorb. So, you know, the environment is.
And let's be real, man. We're sitting behind a computer all day. Our social skills can dwindle greatly if we don't get out and do some of these things, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
We're not in a normal world. We can become really shady fuckers if we just sit around and look at the world through our computer screens. Like, it's not going to work. So getting out and doing stuff, getting out and. Drew's done some great trips with his family and getting out to see the world and see and showing them what he really likes. So again, I'm bringing it all to domains. Domains can kill you health-wise if you just sit behind the computer, but they also give you freedom to explore the things you want to do if you want to do them. And there's just not many things that do that. So,
yeah.
Well said. All right. Well, let's talk some domains. Let's bring it back to domains and, Josh, for anybody who's not going to listen to the whole show, Josh did just launch gtdn.com, and we're not going to get into it. We'll talk more at the end, but just in case people are going to tune out now, you know what I'm saying? I just want them to know.
Somebody.
We just, you know what I'm saying? Josh is get that domain name.
This guy's talking about it on Twitter, and now he's talking about it on Sherpa. I'm fucked out.
No. Hey, man, I just want to make sure that in case, you know, before people tap out before the end, gtdn.com. I'm just setting the table. We're going to talk more about it by the, you know, later.
I only launch on fourletter.coms, man. I'm living the chip phase.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're back with the chip phase. You're going to be dropping, you're going to be launching your next shit on a 6N. You know what I'm saying?
6N, bro. It's going to be 8888.
Yeah.
8888818.com.
Yeah.
Let's go. Anyway, get that domain .com. Looks pretty awesome, dude. I'm excited to hear more about it. We'll talk more before the end of the show, but again, I just to keep wanting to kind of set the table as we go so that people are paying
attention. Thanks, bro. Thanks.
Is it different than DNWE was?
Yeah, completely different.
You got the internet, right, Drew? You still connected online?
Basically just allows you to filter and search through basically all of the inventory that's on the market, so millions of domain names, and you know, you can sort by, you know, newest domains to hit the market, domains with the highest TLD count. You can sort by extension. There's some other, you know, filters in there. It's basically a more user-friendly way to browse domains as opposed to like going to expireddomains.net, which no end user is ever going to do. So I'm not really building it for the domainer community, although initially that's probably everyone that's going to use it. But in the next month or so, the plan is to market it pretty hard, go to Product Hunt and start getting in front of like the indie hackers, the founders, those kind of guys, basically help them browse through all of our inventory easier, more efficiently.
And you have a partner in this one? It was Josh and Josh. It was Josh Squared on the last one.
It's just me and my developer. I've been working with him now for almost 3 years.
Is he an equity partner or just he's your developer?
Yeah. Yes, equity partner.
Yeah. And your inventory is coming from where? Like, do you have also the brandable sites working with you?
So right now we'll expand, but right now it's all of Afternic's inventory.
We'll talk afterwards, because I built an AI search model and we got almost everybody on board, so I'll tell you that model behind the scenes of what they were paying and what they were offering. And yeah, everybody wants better search. Everybody wants to sell more inventory. So if you can provide that for them, they'll play with you. So
we look at this.
Yeah, I mean,
right here on the show,
we launched to, you know, a few weeks ago to beta users, testers, and then just officially went live. And there's a need for it, man. I can tell you that there's already been a bunch of purchases. Some pretty decent, like we're gonna do.
So. I feel a certain way about this because this was my idea that I had like 12 years ago. But I'm just very bad at building a product. So I don't really feel bad about it because I literally am just incompetent at actually building things. But this was literally what DNX was supposed to be. It was a, you know, member only invitation and curated only, basically global lens for the domain aftermarket. So you could basically, using really intelligent search and a whole bunch of metadata that was being assigned to every domain that gets entered into the system, you could do really intelligent search to identify what's actually available out there, from regardless of which broker represents it, regardless of which marketplace it's in, newsletter, etc. We basically, you know, we're pulling from all sources that I consider to be, you know, like, let's say a serious source. Now, we were only focused on super high value domains. That's what we were trying to do with DNX for a very long time. But our problem, the biggest problem we ran into, outside of just bad tech, the biggest problem that we ran into was that as names sell, it's difficult to prune the inventory that you've got in the system. So, you know, you don't know when a broker sells a name or, you know, sells through a marketplace or you know, whatever. And so, I mean, there are ways to do that. It was just way beyond our sophistication, but,
well, here's the issue is the first, everything has to be built on API. So it has to be live. And that, I mean, that's
well, so one thing is the way you're doing it, Shane, the tool you were just discussing is actually getting all these people to, you know, participate.
Give up their API. Yep.
I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to be able to like say, I don't give a fuck if you want to share or not share. Your shit is going to be included in this list and there's nothing you can do about it. Right. So that was our approach to this.
But here's the other thing
for better or worse.
The reason Brand Bucket was really successful in their search originally before AI is they spent time tagging a domain name with 50 keywords. Like that's why I think
that's literally the key to the entire thing is metadata. Metadata on each of these domain names is that's the holy grail here. You need to have an extremely broad interpretation of any given domain name as to what it might apply to, where it might fall, who might be attracted to it, and apply just an absolute insane amount of metadata to it so that it appears in any relevant search, but does not appear in, you know, an unrelated search.
I gave this example when we were building is I owned Monkey Wrench. And if you type up mechanic in a traditional search, it's never coming up. Like you're not going to get Monkey Wrench. But if you are a mechanic, that's a relevant term that would be interesting to your being a car mechanic. So how do you bring that up? So I didn't start with the inventory. I started with the best AI person, Casey Caruso, who's who built it. And she built it and with relevant searches and true, like nobody's built it as well. She's one of the best AI people in the world. The issue was it turned out that other AIs were much more profitable than what we were doing. Not that this couldn't be a very profitable lead generation, but compared to them getting funding of $50 million for other AIs, the AI people didn't come through. But the tested model, and I will say it openly, we worked with Margo using what she's done tag to learn to teach it how to tag properly, to build other people's stuff, to tag it properly so that when you were doing searches, not only did you get exact matches, but you got truly relevant results that would appeal to a person building a brand. Mm-hmm. That's the key, right?
Yep. I mean, if you go to our homepage, that's exactly what like is phrase two says. It says AI suggestion engine coming soon. That's exactly what we have in mind for the long term. But it's right now it's more of like a simplified expired domains type situation.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get there. I mean, it's a great business model, and as we say, nobody really cares what's behind the scenes. They just want to find a good name. That's literally their job. And the more inventory and the more good names you can provide and a better search and user flow, you're going to crush it because I'm tired of going to seven places. So
the platform is super dope, Josh. Congratulations. And I'm super excited to see the journey there because I think it's going to be awesome. So good stuff. All right. Well, again, we'll clean that up.
When I see a price, is that a price or a valuation below these domains? It says price.
Price. Yeah. They're all buy it now prizes.
Sweet. Super digging, man. Good job. Congratulations again, man. I think it's going to be awesome. So it's, let's go. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it moving.
Do you have a way to, you should pull in an API from either agent.com or from Estabot or pull in some kind of valuation. It doesn't actually even matter whether it's a good valuation. That actually not the important part, but it's about relative. So finding a way to sort by relative value. Meaning price to value, the ratio.
Yes, we have some plans for valuation, but I don't like the
that's how
available.
No, I agree. They're all suck, but that's not the point. The point is about the ratio, right? So you assume that, let's say, broadly speaking, these terrible valuation models, they're all bad.
100% yeah, yeah. Agree. But across the entire
spectrum of domains, they're equally bad, meaning that create an integer that is an appropriation or approximation of price to value, right? And so if you sort by that, it's okay, you can highlight seemingly large delta you know, domain trades.
Yeah. So instead of having a like an actual price, the idea is to have like a valuation meter from like red to green based on the stats that we're able to pull. And you can see we're already starting to work on some of those stats, like TLDs and number of characters, number of words, like all those kind of things. And then we'll add some other stats in there. And I think that we'll probably create some kind of just meter that allows you to it doesn't give a number, but it gives you an indication of value. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the idea.
So ttdm.com, check it out, y'all.
Check it out. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Check it out. No, but it's hot. No, seriously, I guarantee you, I'm gonna be rocking with this for hours. I'm gonna be in here doing digging because this is. Listen, if you want to understand what makes you successful in domain names, it's your ability to dig and get down rabbit holes and start digging and digging and digging and digging. And it's like, if you know what to search for, what you need is a tool like this to just start surfacing domains. And so any holistic tool that is going to surface domains based on a specific set of criteria that has effective sorting, filtering, and visibility, I mean, this is going to be a very good tool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. And for people going to make some money using this.
Well, and for what it's worth, yeah. Too, the idea of like, you know, users helping to, you know, go through and find bugs and stuff. I mean, that's pretty standard. I mean, whenever we would release anything, you know, name jets, you know, you do as much Q&A as you can, but obviously you're going to be receptive to the market helping you make your product better. So.
No. Yeah. I mean, I did that with DNWE as well. Just literally launched it bare bones in the first like 2 weeks, was just ironing out bugs.
Yeah, it's awesome though, but it's great stuff. So let's get it. All right, gtdn.com. And so we'll keep it moving on the domain piece. Let's get into the domain game. Let's go, domain game. Man, it's already 45 minutes in, guys. We're gonna have to get us.
Let's go.
But I'm glad we covered that earlier than later, because you know, this way more people will get to see that, and which is dope. So all right, Drew, what do you got? You got a buy or a sell? What's up?
I'm gonna talk about a buy.
All right. And what
we're gonna go with flyingfish.com.
Flyingfish.com.
Were y'all in that auction, or were you guys know what the price was? Were you in the auction?
Mm-mm.
Well, I'm out on this one. So this is just Josh and Shane.
Josh is flipping through. No. Look at Josh.
Yeah, he's like, "Well, I'm gonna go into my GTDN back in right now." Yeah. The second he's like, "I'm gonna go into the other piece of the data that we haven't launched to the public yet." You know what I'm saying? That pulls all the comparable sales. You know what I'm saying? Comps, building the AI tool. He's like, "Let me dive into that database real fast."
No. Drew's got me all frazzled, dude.
All right. Well, hey, look, you two, Shane and Josh.
I'm not even joking, though. I actually love this, and it literally is what I wanted to buy, build.
Yeah, shout out to you, Josh. I mean, you are a builder and you hustle. So, you know, obviously.
Yeah. I hustle, but I don't build.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I'm gonna get yelled at after this. You know what I'm saying?
I build and quit, so it worked out. We have all covered.
Yeah, we have all, you know. And I just take shit. So, all right, let's go.
Flyingfish.com.
It's a buy. Josh and Shane. I already know what this. I know the numbers.
Yeah.
All right, let's flip it. Where's the phones? Where are your phones at? What's your numbers? Where are your numbers at? Where are my numbers at? All right, 3, 2, 1. Josh is at 15,888. Shane's at 1,235 for flyingfish.com.
You said auction, so it could have been like, it wasn't, you said auction. To me, that lower, that cut it in a fifth.
Wow.
Damn. Wow. You know, I was feeling all good about myself.
Josh told me to bid. He texted me, bid low, so he feels bad.
Do you know yes. And you know what? It's time to humble that motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what he said.
This show is a roller coaster of emotions. I'm not gonna lie. Asked
my exact response was, what does GHB stand for? And he said, get him back. you know, Josh always talks in acronyms, so I always have to ask him what it means.
What it means, yeah. It's because he's a younger generation.
All right, so Josh wins. Josh wins. It was 15,250
at auction.
Yeah,
it actually initially went for 25.
It went to 25 or 26, actually, I think, and then buyer didn't pay, and so I got it for, you know, the bid below my lot, you know, below whatever, however the fuck that works. So, anyways, I got it for 15,250.
Boom!
And you
good
think
job,
that's $150,000 name? I'll go ahead and ask.
Flying Fish? I think it's at least, yeah. I'd probably price it higher than that. There's a lot of end users. It's a very old name. Flying Fish, man. Everybody knows Flying Fish. It's, you know, it's like one of the steps, you know, when you're getting your swim, you know, your little swim tags as a kid. You know, Flying Fish. It's like, all right, you could go dive off the diving board now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It was at the the Barrington
at the YMCA.
Barrington Y, you know, in Rhode Island, you know what I'm saying? That was it.
That's it.
Flying Fish was obviously but, high level that you could
anyways. Flying Fish I think is great. It's a great brand, just generally speaking, great brand. You know, it's an animal. And so, you know, it's like a descriptive fun animal. So I like it. I think it's
a description that's totally inaccurate. You know?
They're classic. Swimming,
swimming bird was already taken.
I've seen a lot of. Dude, I've
I'm
seen
just
a lot
kidding.
Of
I know
fish.
Flying Fish are a thing. There's a Flying Fish restaurant in the boardwalk area.
Yeah, there's tons of venues. There's
a whole lot. I mean, I know because I've seen some of the data behind it. I mean, obviously, it's a super popular, like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of value there, but I was just trying to give Drew a hard time. I thought we were like, you know, hey, we're getting Drew back for shitting on Josh.
I'm sure there is.
Y'all want to play that game?
No.
Y'all want to play that game? Because I love that game. That's my favorite game. Let's play that game.
That's all good.
Forget about this domain game. Let's play let's play the vengeance game.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm on the payroll, so I really can't do that. So I'm good. I was just, you know.
Yeah.
Still supporting Josh in spirit.
Though. All right, Josh, my next tip before I give you the tip is you got to be able to filter. You got to be able to filter better. You got to be able to pull out all the garbage. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay. I know what I'm looking for here, right? But it's giving me 99% garbage.
So what do you...
And this is why I keep emphasizing this ratio. I don't give...
Hold on. Stop. Because I want to make sure that we're on the same page here. What is value to you? Like, are you talking about, like, how would you define value? Like, domains that are registered in 100 extensions, for example, or like, it can it be registered in one TLD? Could it just be a .com?
Infinite number of ways to assess whether a domain has value.
Right. So the way that
I'm trying to say is what you need. We don't need to know what the value is. I don't care what the value is. That's actually not the point. The point is to create a standardized metric that defines a ratio between price and value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's irrelevant whether it's accurate. That's not the point. The point is that gives you a lowest common denominator, like an integer that can be compared, meaning. Okay, so let's just say that you're using Estabot. Okay, so you pull in an Estabot value, and I've got, you know, the first domain on the list here is uifp.org, right? And it's priced at $800. Now, I don't know if UIFP stands for anything, but let's say it's worth $50. The price to value is going to be a very big number, right? It's going to be, it's priced at 16 times value, right? It's like your price to earnings, right? Your price to value here is 16. That's your integer. Okay. That doesn't tell you about anything about what it's actually worth or da, da, da. It just gives you a relative comparison. Okay.
I agree. I agree with you. That's why I said about the valuation meter.
Then we can say a domain, let's just make one up. Let's say octopus.org. Well, octopus.org, I don't know. Let's just say Estabot puts it at, I don't even know. Let's say 50 grand. And let's say it's priced at $15,000. Well, it's going to have a price to value integer of 0.3.
Yeah.
And so that is super attractive. And so then that gives me the ability to go in and say, I want to filter for, or I just want to sort by the lowest price to value ratios, right?
Yeah.
And then it's going to send all the stuff that's overpriced or has no value to the bottom.
Yeah. So let's, because I 100% agree. And that's part of the reason why I want to make it simpler with a value meter. But for the sake of this exercise, and I think it's good because this will help people search the way that I search. And so let's go. We want .org. So do the search with me. You want a .org.
Yep.
And yep. You want a max price of, let's say, 20,000. Okay.
Sure.
And I'm going to use TLD count, right? Because I know that the best .orgs are registering a lot of extensions. So
yeah.
I'm going to put 150. Okay, because I really only want good .orgs. So I'm going to put a minimum TLD count of 150. I don't want any make offer, don't want any hyphens, don't want any numbers, don't want any special characters. I'm not too concerned on age or anything like that. Word count and length. Again, I really don't care.
Are you telling me this thing is still telling me there's 98,000 results? Is that possible?
So
98,000 .orgs that are 1 to 7 characters. Under 20 grand.
Yeah, but hold on.
And to have 150 TLDs registered? That's crazy.
No, minimum. Make sure 150 TLDs is the minimum, not the max.
Oh, you're right. I had it in the max.
Minimum. So minimum TLD 150. Yep. You're going to get 670 results. Now, it starts by recent, so like new to old, but I want to change that sort. I want to change it to TLD count high to low. So I want like, to see the best .orgs essentially, because that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
But so initially there's going to be.
Yeah, okay.
But if you go, you're going to see, here's one. I scroll down a little bit, mode.org, 15K. Mode.org for 15K. That's a really, really freaking good domain. That's pretty good value.
Intuit.org for 5K is a good domain. I mean, you got major trademark infringement issues, but. Intuit is actually a word. It means to,
right?
You know, it's intuition to actually to intuit, right?
But like here we're looking at the top 50 results. Here we got
speed.org,
we got transport.org, we got iconic.org,
influencer.org for $9,500.
Yeah. So I agree with you.
Ticket. Look at ticket.org, 20 grand.
Exactly. So I agree with you that
Zaza.
It needs to be a simpler way to decipher value for the average user. And I'm considering you the average user now, Drew. But
I might, apparently I'm below average.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. And that's one of the things that we're working on, is to figure out a way to do like a value meter.
Yeah. Look at this. This thing surfaced some great names.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The title of this episode
I'm sorry for taking over the show. I promise you, this is not what I wanted. This is
Hey, dude, I love it, man. I'm like I said, I think it's
like,
awesome.
This is like relatively uncomfortable right now.
Nah, hey, getting outside your comfort is how you grow. Growth happens outside
That's
your
it.
Comfort. Period. And I think this is awesome. And,
Swiss.org, 14,999. Swiss.org, that's a great name.
We're going to be adding some names to the portfolio today. All right, well, speaking of adding, and let's talk about subtracting. Let's keep it moving on the domain game. Shane, do you have a buy or a sell? What's good?
I don't have much, but I'll give you some that I lost so you guys can decide that I wasn't able to buy because somebody bid higher or somebody actually bought it for more. Maybe you guys participated.
Maybe we bought it.
Yeah,
you might have. I'm going to do one that's in my realm, planetgreen.com.
Right. Oh, I saw that one.
Did you see it?
I don't know where it ended, but I saw that one. Good name.
planetgreen.com. All right. I don't know what this was. So somebody else bought it. All right. More than what you were willing to pay for it. planetgreen.com. All right, let's go. Planet Green.
All right.
I'm at 4,000.
Oh, I got sandwiched.
Oh, no, you did good. No, Josh got, well, I guess it depends. Yeah, Josh technically got sandwiched.
Josh got the under, you got the over, and I'm just sandwiched in the middle.
I got the under, you have the over, dude. I'm at 4,000. Josh is at 5,000.
Oh, you're at 4. Yeah.
And Drew's at 5,300.
JT, you still took it. 4167.
I added one over. That's all. Look at me. Boom. What up? All right. So hey, nice job, everybody, being really clustered around the value. That was pretty clean. And Planet Green's a great name. And what would you, you were stashing it? You were like, are you still trying to buy plant names? Like, what's your.
I mean, I'm still in on plants, right? Like, again, we won't go on a big, long topic, but with AI taking over the whole world, there's still one thing that they're just not taking over, and that's growing plants, right? Going outside, playing in the garden. It's just, it's not. And the other one that I was bidding on, BEE plus Hive, which I didn't think was that great a name. It went for $45.50. It went for even more.
B plus Hive?
Yeah. I mean, bee names. I buy bee names because I like bees.
I get it.
Wait, hold on. I don't understand. B.
You know what I'm saying?
B plus. B-L-U-S Hive, HIVE.com.
I would understand if it was BEE plus.
Wait, stop.
I'm lost.
I don't understand. I'm lost too.
The word is.
Literally just. No. Just spell from the first letter until the dot. Just spell that.
I'll just give you an acronym. No, I'm just kidding. It's BEE. PLUSHIVE.com.
B plus.
What? I don't understand. They had SEO value or something.
I mean, maybe there was something there. I didn't see it at the time, but watch the B and the Hive names. It's ridiculous. I mean, I feel like somebody's just purposely, but yeah, they sell like crazy. Anything with B in it. Just go to the auctions and go to
There's a brand out there, and they have a site. So maybe they had a site. So it's possible it had something to do with this brand that's actually referred to as B plus sign Hive, right? I think the idea of B plus is kind of cool because B plus is like, you know, obviously a grade and it's good. That shouldn't be your goal is to get a B plus, but. But the idea of BEE plus is kind of cool. So I think this is a brand, and it sounds to me like maybe their name expired and they ended up in a bidding war to try to get it back or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it looks
like. So it had be SEO.
Yeah. So
I have BEE.com. I prefer that.
I just want it to be known that I am a big fan of GTDN.com.
Thanks, Drew.
I'm finding some fucking dope names in here. How do you know these prices are accurate?
It's right from Afternic.
But you can't guarantee a sale, right? You can't.
It's Afternic inventory, so most of the time, yeah, it's good. But there's I can't guarantee it.
I can't guarantee it. Directory.org.
We're about to add a whole bunch of names to the portfolio.
Samurai.org. Huh?
I said, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I think we may have fixed the increments issue as well. So
thanks. See, that's the fuck I'm talking about, man. You talk about customers.
That's what I'm talking about. Just admitting that there was a problem. That's it.
Yeah, but the issue is that it wasn't doing it for me. So it made it seem like you were doing something wrong because I hadn't heard it yet. And I know people have been using it, but of course, fucking Drew has to use 25,111. Like,
not only that, but he like got in on it. Does that like shit. That, man. Motherfucker, like, you got to be careful with him, you know?
Hey, Joe, I listen. If there's a loophole, I find it. You feel me?
Yo, intuitively disruptive. That's his.
Yeah.
All right, you want a name for me?
So, but it's good stuff. All right, let's go. What you got? What you got?
You guys want to buy or sell?
I always like a sell because I like hearing about the full life cycle of the domain, what you bought it for, then what you sold it for, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I sold one. Speaking of bees, I sold one yesterday, manukawellness.com.
Oh,
nice.
What does that have to maybe I'm missing the reference. What's Manuka?
Manuka's a type of honey.
Don't worry about him. He's slow.
How do you spell Manuka? How do you spell Manuka?
Ignore him for a moment. He can't, you know.
Manuka Wellness.
He's gonna be eating it too. This doesn't taste like anything. This is horrible.
Can you please spell Manuka. Some? How do you
Manuka.
Spell
Manuka?
Listen, what? Why you gotta spell it if you don't even know what you're talking about?
Someone's got to put it in the show notes, dog. You know, come on, bro. You know,
oh, Billy will know. Billy will know.
God, well,
Billy knows. Billy's bubble ain't as tight as yours.
Oh man. All right, let's go. Let's go. Manuka right. Wellness.
Manuka Wellness. Manuka Wellness.
Boom.
Oh yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
You hadn't typed it in?
Wow.
I'm just totally fucked you. He said that's what you I get. He's like, yo, I'm taking that $6,000.
I was thinking about putting 111 at the end just to be funny.
Yo, 4,999 from me. Drew's at 7,369, and Shane's at 7,899.
It was
4,888.
Oh, I wasn't sure
which prize level. I knew it was right below 5. Right Let's below go. 8 or right below 10. Like, those are my three choices.
Exactly. I knew it was in, like, a buy it now. What you just have to figure out, what do you price it at? You know what I'm saying? That's literally, like, with one of those. So I won the domain game. So listen, first of all, I want to thank everybody who supported me.
You want to hear what I bought it for? I bought it for $5, like, 2 months ago.
No.
What?
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's pretty cool, right?
Where'd you buy it for $5? Like, a closeout?
It was $5 at closeout. But, like, to think that a name like that can get all the way down to $5 at closeouts, I just find that amazing.
Well, it's such a niche. I find that amazing. It's a big product, but then you add a variable word like that, and it gets to be, there can be a lot of other brands at the end of Manuka. So,
yeah, but wellness and Manuka.
Wellness,
hand in hand.
Both sides. That's a good point.
It's a great name that I didn't know about 5 minutes ago. And now I guess
there's just a lot of guys like JT out there that don't know what Manuka is.
Yeah, that's, I guess so. I didn't know people were.
That sounds like some pretty foo foo kind of stuff. I don't know that, you know.
Bro, next time you go get a sore throat, Manuka, get some Manuka.
Yeah, except honestly, you really don't want it anymore. You're better off. There's a honey that you can get. It's hard to get, but you can get it. It's called strawberry tree honey. And it comes from, it's like one place that grows it in Italy, and there's a few places in Greece, mostly Crete. And, yeah, that's the one you should actually really use because the strawberry trees has like very powerful alkaloids and it's bitter. It's very bitter. So it purifies your liver. And anyways, the Manuka, the problem is that there simply isn't enough supply for the demand. And so what you've got now is forget price. That's just one obstacle, but you've got, you know, like an overproduction, and now it's full of glyphosate. And, you know, when you take honey, it's super concentrated. So you're actually getting really highly concentrated levels of glyphosate in a lot of the Manuka. And then a lot of it is tainted. It's like a small amount of Manuka mixed with, you know, pasteurized honey, crap, industrial honey. And so you're basically just drinking sugar water and, you know, laced with glyphosate. So, yeah, you got
to get like the 1,000 plus MGO or whatever.
It's highly regulated in Australia, though, too, right? Like, you can't ship it out without them testing it.
What does MZO stand for, Shane?
It's
from New Zealand.
I actually don't know what that level means. Because it's foreign, I don't ship it in. It's just too expensive for me to resell. So I don't really know much about it. I know it's not people don't eat it generally. They use it for wounds and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people don't realize honey is really good for wounds. So,
yeah, super good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the shittiest honey is really good mead, right? Like, we have goldenrod here, which is the worst tasting honey ever. It's horrible, but it makes incredible mead. Like, it really is good mead. So, yeah, there's a whole world of honey. I've drilled down there. But Drew's exactly right. Bees take in all the chemicals that are on the plants, right? Like, it's in the flower. They bring it back to the hive and it's concentrated. So they test honey to test local, like, imidacloprid's a big problem. Glyphosate's a big problem. It's a big problem. And that's also why kids under two, there's another reason why kids under two shouldn't be taking honey. So there's a whole nother podcast. We start with life skills. We're now into honey. We're building a product in front of your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, they're covering a lot of ground.
Go ahead and put a paywall in front of this one. Like, let's go ahead and do it.
It is true. There's a lot of really good stuff here, and all roads do lead to domain. So, and we've got about 18 minutes left on the clock. Oh, that's right, because Drew just did the big honey thing this past weekend out at the farm. Oh. Look at you guys. I mean, there's joy in that honey harvesting right there. You know, you guys are rocking the suits, doing the whole thing, man.
We got a pretty serious apiary going on at the farm now. 50 hives. Oh. And they're doing a really nice job.
Is this your farm?
Broader,
well, it's not my farm, it's a huge property. It's literally like 30,000-40,000 acres. And I own
those.
Your
bee house boxes, Shane?
Yeah, those are mine.
Awesome, good.
And you know, I'm building a house there that'll be part of the larger project. And then, you know, but we have access to the organic garden. We got access to the, you know, the apiary. We're making unbelievable. Literally, I'm not joking. Some of the best olive oil I've ever had in my life. And unbelievable wine. They're doing a great job. And so, you know, slowly, it's 14 years in the making now. And
nice.
But it's really special. I mean, you got wild horses, literally real. I think it's 7 generations of wild horses running around the property. They've got these big, beautiful cows and I think next month or this month, we're now in October, we'll get, I think 300 head of sheep. And, yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Great.
Yeah.
And we did an amazing beekeeping exercise over the weekend with the kids, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I use a flow hive, so you don't have to open it. You can literally just open the side and see all the frames. And that's what I do for like public kids. You know, personal, we'll open it up. But public, I don't want to like have the kid to go to anaphylactic shock and dies because I
was not like that. Are we insured for
what
that?
Happens? What happens if the bees, like, I assume the bees try to sting you while you're in your suit, right?
Nah,
they're smoked and calm.
Yeah. We didn't even do a lot of smoking. They were super calm. The bees were really chill.
So every hive has a personality, right? Like, beekeepers will know their hive. There's some that are aggressive hives, and there's some hives that you could put in your living room and they won't mess with you. And you try and breed and split the hives that are the most calm when it comes to like local close hives. And you know that, like, you'll look at a hive and say, this one, I can't get close to people. They're just too aggressive. And so when you split them or get new queens or they swarm, you only work with the calm hives because that's what you want around you. So yeah, they have personalities.
That's crazy. So those aggressive hives, if you approach them in your suit and they try to sting you, they die, right? Because
they can't get through the suit. They can't sting the suit.
He's saying the bees die once they... Bees don't always die when they sting. Like, that's a fallacy that every time they...
That's not true, huh?
Yeah.
No.
Their lifespan is not very long in general, but they produce bees, especially in the summer. They produce like crazy.
Is that completely fake news? The sting and die thing?
That's a good question. I think that's not fake news. I'm not positive.
No, not fake news. We just learned about it. So good. If you look at a wasp, the stinger on a wasp, it literally looks like a needle. Okay. Actually, it doesn't look like a needle. It looks like a sword because it actually is flat on two sides and it's sharp and it's pointy. So it looks like a small sword. It looks like the toothpick that's inside the Swiss Army knife, you know, like the flat, and then it's duck. That's the stinger on like a wasp or a hornet. On a honeybee, the stinger is more like your Rambo knife. It's one side looks like the wasp stinger, right? It looks like a sword blade. They're both pointy at the end, but the other side is like a saw blade, like this. And so if it stings you, I guess the only way it wouldn't die is if it doesn't sting you deeply and the stinger doesn't get stuck, then it can retract, no problem. But what happens is when the bee stings you, as long as if it stings you deep enough, then when it retracts, the stinger is stuck because of the saw blade or like a fish hook, you know, with barb. And then it pulls the stomach right off the bee.
Yeah, it pulls. Wow. It's the abdomen and the stinger are all one. So that's why they would die.
And it educated the
what I learned, super interesting, is if you get a stinging, you never, even from anything, any bee, any wasp, you never pull. Everybody tries to like squeeze it and pull it out. And it's the stupidest thing you can do, because what happens is that sac that contains the poison is still attached to the stinger. So when you squeeze the stinger to pull it out, you're actually pushing all the poison into you. And so you're literally, it's like squeezing the, you know, like an eyedropper. You're squeezing pushing the shit into you.
Icing.
And so actually what you want to do is take a credit card or a knife, and you actually just want to scrape it like this, sideways. And that will actually pull it out without releasing all the rest of the poison.
So pretty dope. One last quick question, Shane, and then we got to jump into name jack and a jet. But the hives that you have that you're showing, are those with you? Were those in Colorado or those are?
No, those are at the nursery. Yeah, we have we have certain flowers or trees that we go, like linden honey, basswood honey. We put the hives there, and then there's a couple, and then the rest are just I just work with beekeepers. Beekeepers hate, this is a business model, they hate going to farmers market and selling honey. Like, they just want to keep bees.
Yeah.
They don't really want to be in the business model. So mine was like, you keep enough for yourself and I'll buy all the rest in bulk and then you can just do your thing. And that turned out to be the case for people around the whole country. So yeah, I just got raspberry yesterday, like 1,000 acres of raspberry that the bees only get raspberry. Unbelievable. Like it is so good. It's amazing.
Bee house.
10 different honeys and everyone tastes unique, where I could come back to you, you could taste it and you'll know the difference. Like, that's how different honeys can taste. So beehouse.com. I just opened her back up again because I got honey. I got 10,000 pounds of honey last week.
Let's go. All right. Beehouse.com. I love it. It's a great thread of the, you know, got some bee names, really, it's all good.
MediaOptions is the industry's leading domain broker, specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, MediaOptions offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. MediaOptions believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, so we got name checking. So that is the domain game. Congratulations to me for winning. Let's not lose sight of the important thing. Yeah, oh, there we go. Colonel Whitenfur. I have some of that laying around. I have that.
Yeah, that's not just the, you know, this is the gold wax. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was the one of one.
This we're is having, good shit.
In 20 years, we're having a $10,000 buyback per bottle. Like, right, you can turn it back in.
I love it. I love it. I'll have
it. Damn it. I already ate mine, dude.
Oh, well, sorry.
I hope it tasted.
The bottles are. You can return the bottle for 20 cents in Maine. You'll be fine.
deep fucking value. But all right. Well, that was dope.
Wait, Ted, remind me again why? What made this one white?
Yeah,
what
so
is this honey what?
Out of it's what the bees eat. So like out of 100 hives, maybe once every 3 years, the honey will come out looking like water. Like it doesn't look like honey. It's just clear. And that it's pretty rare. It just depends on what the bees ate. You know, bees, the color of the honey is what the bees' flower was bringing back. And that year, one of them came back just white. It aged a little bit. It added some amber with time. But when we were pulling it out, it looked crazy. It looked like thick water. It looked like looked like aloe vera almost. So that's where I came up with the idea.
Talk to me about some names that you like, don't like real quick. As always, NameJet and a Jet, sponsored by NameJet. Reviewing a list of domains, coming up for auctions to see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. And ultimately, you know, if you go to the Domain Sherpa page, you can pull the Excel sheet. It's got some data around the names. And so hopefully it helps you all on your journey. But let's talk.
Yeah, it's funny because I normally, when I do my list every day, I only do it 3 days out, right? I don't put names that are going to be more than 3 days, but I accidentally forgot to set, kind of like Drew does. I set a bad range. So I got everything. So my list today had these names on it. So
oh nice. So you're already ahead of the curve.
So I've already looked through all of them. And I had most of them on there. I really liked Smart Site. I know it's two words, but I just feel like it can represent such a big brand. Value, you know, at auction, I think it'll go for a couple $1,000s. But I do like, if I'm going to get a two-word.com, I want it to be tech. I want it to be able for AI. I want it really broad. Mm-hmm. And that fits that range.
Well, especially since it's Smart Site and that site like iSite. And, you know, we're seeing.
That's the problem too, though. SITE is.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Look, the radio test, but the which is interesting in a name involving vision and something you see versus something you hear. There's some kind of irony there. But the I think, you know, Meta, Snap, Snap, like they're all releasing, you know, some of their new smart glasses, right? Which, you know, in some cases they're saying the new ones that Meta is coming out with, they're AI lightweight, you know, are effectively going to replace what we've, you know, they're going to be the new phone revolution from a tech perspective. So that's where I like that name a lot. I think there's something there.
Yeah, that's gonna be a category, right? Smart Site, smart glass, you know, that's 100%. I like Smart Site way better than smartglasses.com.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a brand and it, you know, it's all kind of ties together. I love that name. So yeah, it's cool that you mentioned it. It was probably
I really like that one. I don't normally like ING names, but perfecting.com is a solid one too. Cause I mean, perfection obviously is the winner there, but perfecting.com is a solid brand. And I think it's pretty memorable. I don't like ING in overall. But I've grown to like them because they sell really well. I've seen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And on that one too, I mean, we say it on the show a lot that not all one word domains are created equal. Sometimes they can get kind of weird. But I feel like that one, to your point, is actually the word is, you know, as it is in this domain, is natural, you know, and
it's a word I use. Like half those words I've never used before. They're not even they're in my vernacular, but they're not in my vocabulary, regular vocabulary.
Oh,
so
I like the way you said that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
slick.
And so, so that one I like, and I'll just use one more since there's not a time. I like Steppen, but I think I like it because I think I play it every day that it's an app, but I think it's spelled differently. I think it's STPEN is a app where you get paid to run, and I use it every morning because I get.
Yeah, I remember that one. They had like the NFTs. Yeah. And all
I
that
still make $8
stuff.
A day running.
No way. Do you really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I was making $1,000 a day for the first month. Like I was really killing.
That's
it.
Wild.
No, I'd run for $1,000 a day. Someone give me $1,000.
Yeah, no,
day,
that's So it's I still make enough on Steppen to pay for high end Nike shoes. All my shoes for the year, I make enough running through that app to pay for them. So, and it's Steppen. So I think
How much are like super high end running shoes?
$280 a pair.
Yeah, you're making like $3,000 a year.
Yeah, I know.
Buys more than one pair a year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I buy a pair. A pair every 8 weeks. Yeah,
but either way, he still ends up.
I buy one every 8 years.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And they still look like new. When I turn them in, they still look like new.
On the outside, mine look like new, but the soles and the, you know, these have carbon plates and stuff. Those, the foam's all worn down and the carbon plates are done. So I could hand them to you and you'll think they're great, but they don't have that oomph anymore. So yeah, those are the names I like. I'll let other people take them since there's only so many.
All right, Josh, talk to us, man. What do you think?
I actually really like this list. It's a good list. So Acela is a little bit risky, maybe.
Because of the Amtrak trademark?
Yeah. I think there is generic meaning there. Maybe God of Flower or something like that. But you have to dig pretty deep just to figure out if there's actual generic, you know, meaning. And a lot of it is just coming up with this Amtrak train. So I'd probably pass on that. I guess I gotta say Cuppa, CUPPA. I feel like you put that one in with a British guy in mind.
Cuppa.
That would
is
be.
That, don't you guys call that a hole in one? Isn't there something like a
no?
Cuppa?
Oh, it's a cup of tea. Mm. A cuppa.
A cuppa.
Yeah, a cuppa.
Cuppa. You got me on that. I like this. I hated that name. Now I like it.
But I actually really like that name as well. Great name for a coffee shop or something like that. I actually even it could be anything, right? It could be a SaaS brand. I don't know. So I'm into that name. I'll do one more. Concurrent. I want to like that name. I think it's a good name. I haven't dug into it too much, but I like it.
I like it. I think, you know, it reminds me of parallel or something, you know. All right, Drew, real quick, you got 2 minutes. So why don't you give us a minute and then let's shut this down. Covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about everything I like. I mean, first choice, great name.
Take the time. You like that one?
I like Steppen. Steppen is my favorite by far. Take the time. I don't know. Maybe. But it's kind of like a slogan name. You know, it's like somebody's going to drop $3,000 to $5,000 for that. You know, I think to get more than that, you got to get real lucky. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Take the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
what
know.
About polygons?
I do like polygons. I do like it. I like geometry.
This is like polygon.
So
polygon
for example,
such a high value name.
I'm gonna take this last minute that I didn't get from JT to talk about beehives and polygons or hexagons. And do you know why bees make these perfect hexagonal honeycombs? Do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Frequency and vibration. So when all the worker bees, they create the hive, right? And it's basically one singular flat layer. And then you have, I don't know if it's the drones or the other worker bees or whatever, but they go out and they get the other raw material, the water, they get the pollen, they get, some other various materials to come in, to build the hive, to feed the babies, to feed the queen, basically they use all this stuff infinitely. But the other guys are in there and they are buzzing their wings. They're in one giant ball and they're buzzing their wings at a very specific frequency. And they're doing this in mass within a closed structure of a hive. And that resonance creates that hexagonal structure. And it's kind of like if you put water or sand on a solid plate and you vibrate it at various frequencies, it creates a design. Billy, pull up one of those videos for people to show them the different designs that happen when you put water, a bowl of water or sand on top of a vibrating plate. And what happens is it creates these very perfect, symmetrical, geometric patterns. And the vibration of the bees is at such a frequency that it creates this perfect hexagonal pattern in the beehive, which just so happens to be an incredibly powerful in terms of strength. And it has all kinds of other benefits to being that shape. But anyways,
how much? Drew,
I thought that was super interesting.
How much would you ask for the beehive.com, Drew?
The beehive.com? Great name. Great name. Typically, the domains that start with the, I typically have them priced in the 15 to 25 range. Some of them I price up to 50. That one I would probably put in the 50 to 75 range. It's a really good name.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I want to sell it for. I priced it at 100. I was thinking between 50 and 75.
Yeah, it's a solid. Yeah. It's a solid sum.
Great name. Yep.
And all roads lead to domains. So good stuff. Interesting. Thank you, Drew.
I think, do we own B-Hive? I think we do.
I've got B.ag if you really like those. Not quite the same.
B.ag? Bag? That's the bag hack?
No, B-E-E.ag, like agricultural bee.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Pollinating your hives. No takers.
I don't see B-Hive in here. But, oh, wait, it's B-E-5.
9K.
And while we're waiting, you know, the bees, that vibration also keeps them warm in the winter in the colder climates. That's an
I guess who owns vibration.
And that frequency creating the air circulation through this vibration, it's also that specific frequency that is what makes honey everlasting. So you can, everybody knows that as long as the honey was harvested at the right time, if you harvest it too early and there's still too much water content in it, then it will go bad. And it'll go bad quickly, like in a month.
Yep, turns to alcohol.
But as long as it is properly harvested.
Yeah.
No. False. That's what everybody learned. But what actually keeps it, makes it basically permanent is that it's the frequency of the bees when they're doing this, and the air circulation is what's evaporating the water, but the vibrational frequency of the bees is actually restructuring the proteins in the honey in a way that basically makes it super anti-fungal, antibacterial, antiviral, anti-everything, like literally impenetrable. Bulletproof.
Wow. Well, there's something to be, there's a lot to be dug into there down that rabbit hole, or into that beehive for that matter. And maybe we'll get into that in the next episode of Domain Sherpa.
We've learned.
We covered a ton of ground. This was awesome. Appreciate all you guys. Congratulations again, Josh. GTDN.com. Go get your search on, everybody. And Shane, as always, thank you. Drew, of course.
Just make sure you use integers of increments of 50.
Doesn't matter anymore. It's been fixed. Bug's been fixed.
Yeah.
Bees been fixed. Anyway, bees and bugs. But it really is all good.
Bees and bugs.
I think that's gonna be the name of the show. I already see it.
It's bugs, baby. Anyway. No, Josh, I'm excited for you, man.
Really,
we'll talk more about
this. Before you release this, talk to me. I want to see it.
Yeah, we need to make sure this was approved. But listen, guys, thank you so much. This was awesome. To the audience, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Without you, there is no us. We say it on every show. And, get at us. Good, the bad, the ugly. Get at Josh with any comments and feedback on the new platform. And, let's crowdsource the Q&A or the QC, actually. We'll keep it moving, but it's all good things. Stay safe out there, everybody, in these times of uncertainty. Keep your head up, help out those that need it, and otherwise just try to take it easy. In the meantime, we'll do what we do, and we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everyone.